Most of us have probably heard a statement along the lines of, salvation is simple, but it is not cheap. And it's a true statement because, in fact, the cost Jesus Christ paid was everything. He paid everything for that salvation that we are offered it free. You see, God made His salvation available to us on the basis of a personal faith from all who exercise that believing faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But brethren, with that question, let me ask this. Are all those who do not now know the name of Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, are they lost forever? There are many who teach that. There are many who believe that. There are works, ministerial works, that are out there in the world today, and that's their whole mission, is to get it into places in the world where people have never heard the name of Jesus Christ, because they have this belief that if they don't at least have the name of Jesus Christ before they die, they're going to be lost for all eternity. And so that's a question that I'd like for us to ask, and that's a question that I'd like for us to look at and examine here today. So with this, please go with me to the book of Acts chapter 4, and beginning in verse 10. Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 10. Let it be known to you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. Now, there was a healing that took place. Obviously, is what he's talking about. Verse 11, this is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now, if we take the Bible for what it says, that's pretty straightforward. But brethren, some have also, as I've already stated, but some have used these verses to try and prove that unless a person hears the name of Jesus Christ, that person not hearing is lost. Are those who do not know the name of Jesus in this life lost forever? Well, let's look at God's word for the answer. First of all, what we see from just these verses we've read. These verses do not state the ones who do not hear the name of Jesus during this lifetime are lost forever. That's not what it says. On the other hand, these verses do state that salvation is by no one else, by no other, as there is no, as it says, no other name under heaven than that of Jesus Christ by which men can be saved. And that's a true statement. That's what it says. But it does not state in these verses that if they don't hear it now, then they're lost forever. Let's see some other places where this principle is actually found in the Bible. Let's go to 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 2. And I'll tell you right up front, we're going to be reading a lot of Bible verses today to make the point. But in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, it says, for there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. John 10, verse 1. John 10, verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. And drop down to verse 7. This is in John 10, verse 7. So Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. In verse 1, it says, if any come in any other way, climbing up and trying to get into there in any other way, they're a thief and a robber. Verse 7 says, Jesus says, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. Verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. So what we can know is that these people are at this point without hope until they have been called and offered their opportunity for salvation, to be saved. That's what we know. They are not lost forever simply because they have not heard the name of Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but this should be a very positive thing to know and to understand. The fact is, the vast majority of all who have ever been born, estimated some 70 billion people who have ever been born and are alive today, have been spiritually blinded and not yet given an opportunity for salvation. And that's why they don't know who the door is, how to receive salvation today, because they've been spiritually blinded. Let's see some other verses that show this particular point. And again, as I said, we're going to be reading several passages here today. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 29. Deuteronomy 29, verse 1. These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, besides the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. Now Moses called all Israel and said to them, "You have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land." Verse 3. "The great trials which your eyes have seen, the signs and those great wonders, yet the Lord has not given you a heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear to this very day." Now we can look back on a time of Moses' life, the children of Israel, and we can gripe and we can complain and we can say, well, they didn't get it. They didn't understand. And they didn't do this right. And they didn't do this right, even though they had God with them and the cloud and the fire and all of these things, but they didn't get it. Well, it says right here in verse 4, "Yet the Lord has not given you a heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear to this very day." They were blinded. Let's go to the New Testament, Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 28 and 29, we'll read. Verse 28, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased or to a reprobate mind, a mind void of judgment, to do those things which are not fitting." Verse 29, "being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness." They are whisperers. It's listing out things that they are, the things that they are. So what we see is the reality is Satan has deceived the vast majority on earth today, as he has also deceived those who have already been alive and that are dead. They've all been deceived. All is a wrong word there. All have not been deceived. There have been people, but the vast majority of people have been deceived to not know and to not understand. Let's go to Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9. Revelation 12 and verse 9. "So the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent of old, and called the devil and Satan, who deceived or is deceiving the whole world. He has been cast out to the earth, and his demons were cast out with him." And let's go to another place. Let's go to Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 4, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing." It's the same thing. They are deceived. The whole world is being deceived. The whole world is deceived. However you want to word that, is those who are perishing. That's who is speaking about. It's been veiled to those. Verse 4, "whose minds the god of this age has blinded, who do not believe, unless the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." They've been deceived. They have been spiritually blinded, and we know the agent through which the spiritual blindness took place is through Satan the devil. Let's go to one other place here, and that's 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 3. 11 verse 3, 2 Corinthians. "But I fear lest somehow, As the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Paul here is referring to members of the body of Jesus Christ, the church of God. He said, just as Eve was deceived by the serpent, it says, by his craftiness, and he said, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. In other words, they may be. So it's not just everyone out there is. Everyone out there pretty much is. But he's also talking to the church. Even some within the church could be. This is his point that he's making here. So your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. It's very plain through Scripture, Scripture after Scripture, passage after passage, that God wants everyone to have his opportunity at salvation. In other words, it would be what we would refer to as his calling. God wants everyone to have this opportunity at salvation. Let's go back to 1 Timothy again, chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Verse 4, who desires all men to be saved, all men to be saved, and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That is what God wants. Is he doing it at this time? No, it's very plain. He's not. He's allowed Satan to be out there and to deceive the whole world, except those that God is now working with and working through. 2 Peter chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. And again, here Peter, as Paul was, Peter is also addressing the church of God, the true body of believers. He says, you were called to this, to inherit a blessing. And so I think it's very simple that what we've even seen just to this point in time, that the whole world is deceived by Satan, allowed by God. And God also at the same time has called people to be able to receive the blessing of that calling and the knowledge of salvation now. The fact is, Jesus died to pay the penalty for every person, not just those who are called now, but for every person so that they might have salvation offered to them, every single person. We see that through another scripture, very simple, that so many people embrace, but not really understanding it in the context of the whole of the Bible. And that's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And there are so many people that quote this verse but have a lack of understanding that there's a time frame, there is an order in all of this. I want you to think about this for a moment. Here's this great God, loving, merciful God, who says that he wants all men to be saved. Now, we either take God at his word or we don't. He either stated that and he means it, or he doesn't. Well, I know that we know that he stated it, and we know that he means it. So I want you to think about this from this point of view. God devised a plan and created mankind in his own image, in God's own image, after his likeness. Genesis 1, verse 26 says that. Sent out one of the members of the Godhead to die for all humanity, John 3:16, so that they can be in the family of God. And then he leaves it up to mankind to get this name of Jesus Christ to every person throughout the face of the earth, including babies that are born that die in birth, that die in the first moments after their life. They didn't hear the name of Jesus, and as a result of this, they die for all eternity. Now, when you extend that doctrine out there, that if you don't hear the name of Jesus now, they're going to be lost forever. That's what you have to conclude. And it's we, the humans, fault in the sense that we didn't do the job. Even if these newborn babies. I don't think so. I don't think that's the God that we worship. I don't think that's the God of the Bible. But some believe this. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels by the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone except for those who did not hear his name. That doesn't say that in my Bible. It doesn't say that in yours either. It says that he did this that he might taste death for everyone. And you look up the Greek, and you can look it up even in a Hebrew thing, and you know what the word means? It means everyone. It is inclusive. There is no except clause in this word. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15 in verse 21. 1 Corinthians 15 in verse 21. For since by man came death, man being Adam, by man, Jesus, also came the resurrection of the dead. By one man came death, by that man, death came upon mankind, and that man was Adam. So also comes the resurrection from the dead, or of the dead, and that man is Jesus Christ. Verse 22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Except for, there is no except for. All are not lost. There is an opportunity. And so there has to be more to this explanation. There has to be more to this understanding. What we need to realize is that there is an order of salvation according to God. Jesus Christ is first, then those who are at his coming, then everyone else. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. Verse 23. But every man in his own order. Christ the firstfruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. Let's go back to Peter again. The Apostle Peter's writings, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 17. We would know this verse. Let's put it in the context of this sermon. 1 Peter 4:17. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, those that are called now. And if it first began, and brethren, if there is a first, then what has to follow? At least a second. And there could be a third or a fourth or whatever it is, but we understand. If it first began at us, meaning those that are of the household of God, the church of God, what shall the end be of those that obey not the gospel? So, brethren, there is a future time coming when God will remove the spiritual blindness and will give all those not yet called their opportunity for salvation. God is such a loving, merciful God. God is so awesome, and he sent Jesus Christ. Let's go back to the book of Isaiah chapter 9. You could read this entire chapter, but I want to start in verse 6, drop down all the way to verse 6. Isaiah 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Verse 7. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. And the last part of this verse is the incredible part, even on top of what we just said, what we just read. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. will do this. God has said this is what he's going to do. This is what he is going to do. We see that God has already done the very first part. He's already given us the Son. We see that the Son has already died for all of mankind. And we see God is still working out all of the rest of this, of the increase of his government and peace. There's going to be no end. And his kingdom shall be established. And this is what it says. And the zeal of the Lord will do this, will perform this. Isaiah 11 and verse 9. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. As we understand, holy mountain is symbolic of a government. He's talking about his government, the government of God. Shall not destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. This is a promise. His word is true. This also is going to happen. Is the word of God throughout all the earth today? Of course not. Of course not, but it's going to. Because God has spoken it and God has promised it. Isaiah 25 and verse 7. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people and the veil that is spread over all nations. Remember I told you earlier that there is this spiritual blinding. There's a time coming when that spiritual blindness, that spiritual blinding, that veil is going to be removed. That covering cast over all people is going to be removed. Let's go back to Acts chapter 2. Acts 2 and verse 17. This is the day of Pentecost. The Apostle Peter is standing up with the rest of the apostles. And he's telling them what is happening, what has gone on with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And he says, and it will come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. This time is coming. This time is coming when a great thing that will occur. And that's going to be when Satan is chained so he can no longer deceive the people. When the deceiver has been put out of the way that it can keep his propaganda going and that propaganda stops, what's going to happen? The people are going to begin to understand. They're going to be able to see. They're going to see the deception. They're going to be able to see the truth and be able to see there's a difference here. Let's go to Revelation chapter 20 and verse 1. Revelation 20 and verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on that dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And cast him to the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should not deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years shall be fulfilled. So for the time frame of the millennial rule of Jesus Christ of 1,000 years, Satan the devil is going to be gone. So the deception is going to be gone for this 1,000 years. And then we read the last part of this verse because it's still part of what is going to happen. And after that, after this 1,000 years, he must be loosed a little season. It doesn't say he'll be loosed and then be able to go back and deceive the nations forever and ever and ever. It says for a little season. In other words, that little season is going to end also. It's just for a short period of time. Now, during that short period of time, are he going to be able to deceive people? Of course he is. But then when he is permanently removed, then what happens? The deception is gone with the deceiver. That's what we see. God will cleanse the people and cause them to follow His, God's, way of life. Ezekiel 36. Go back to Ezekiel 36, verse 25. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. The implication is, we as humans, we as people today, are not clean. Why? What would be that we would not be clean? Because we've been deceived. This is what he's talking about. And you shall be clean, From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. Verse 26, a new heart. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And I like this phrase. I will put my spirit within you and cause you. He's going to make it so. God has stated this. He has prophesied this through the prophet here, and he has stated it, and he's going to carry it out. It is going to happen again because God said so. This will be a time when those who have not been called now, those who do not know in the name of Jesus now, will be given their opportunity for salvation. That time is coming. They are not lost forever. We cry for the loss of this, of these. I go back to these newborn babies because obviously that touches everyone. Well, we can cry for the loss of newborn babies, but it's in this physical life now. But the time is going to be when they too are going to be changed. They're going to be resurrected, and they're going to be given an opportunity for salvation also. They're not lost forever. 2 Corinthians tells us there is an accepted time of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2. For he says, I have heard you in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored or helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And that is true, as we read earlier, who is the judgment on now? On the church of God. Obviously implying it's not on everyone now. So we see there is a time coming when those who do not now know the name of Jesus Christ will know. He is the Savior. So let me go back and ask the question from the beginning of the sermon. Is it true those who do not now know the name of Jesus, are they lost forever? No. In fact, what we see is a time is coming when God will open the minds, will open the hearts of all those who have not had the opportunity to know the Savior, Jesus Christ. That time is coming. There's this entire plan of salvation that God has worked out. It's explained through the holy days. I'm not going through that here today, but that's what this is all focused on. This is what this is all geared toward, is to be able to understand it. We have to see it in the context of the holy days. That time is coming when they too, as we did, will come to see Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, our Lord, our Master. Most of you who have been baptized probably were asked that. Do you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, your Lord, your Master, your soon coming King and High Priest? Not is he the salvation, not is he the king to the whole world, not is he to everyone else, but it was personal. Do you accept that? Do you believe that? Do you accept that? And we said yes. Not everyone now understands that. I don't know about you, just like I said, but this is an exciting truth of God that today many do not know nor teach this as a truth of the Bible. This needs to be exciting to us now, part of the household of God, part of the church of God now, as we teach this to as many as the Lord Jesus Christ allows us to teach that Jesus Christ is the Savior. Or is this just something that we, oh yeah, we accept that. Yes, we know that. Or is this something that is very exciting? It needs to be something, brethren, that stirs us up. It needs to be something, in one sense, that actually helps us to get out of the bed in the morning. Maybe you're not directly involved in getting this out and talking to other people and doing all the things that maybe a full-time minister would be doing. But it still is the thing that should get us out of the bed in the morning, because we're part of that. We're all part of that. And as our day goes on, as the opportunity comes to us, we have an opportunity to be able to tell people this as the opportunity is there, or we let it go. Which one do we do? And that's something we have to do on an individual basis, decide. How do we handle it? We're all part of this. Because we know it, we understand it, and someone can hear it and understand it. Because this is what we're part of, is knowing this and being able to bring it available to others. There are too many people today in the world, for whatever reason, other than I'm not dealing with deception by itself. But there are too many people in the world today who do not really know who God is. And this is really what a lot of this hinges upon. They don't really understand who God is. I think that we, as a group, part of what we need to be about, what we're trying to be about, is to spread the word about who God is. And I think this is a wonderful opportunity that we all have to be part of this, because, as I said, there are some who don't know. As a minister, I receive, sometimes I get things and I don't know how people even know I'm a minister, except it's on the internet, I guess. But I receive things from people from time to time. Ministerial works, ministerial services, things that are going on out there, who contact me and they say, will you be part of this? Will you help us in getting this out to the world? Because I just received one of these not too long ago, and this is obviously what sparked some of this, is that, will you help us in being part of this? Will you send donations? Will you send ministers? Will you do what? I mean, they're asking for whatever, because they really believe this is what they should be doing. And I read their literature, and I'm reading it, and it's not getting the gospel message to all the world so people know. It's to get the name of Jesus Christ out so that people won't be lost forever. That's their mission. And some of their stories are absolutely incredible at some of the things that they do to go out and do this. But they have such a lacking and understanding of who God is and the plan of salvation of God. When we see very plain, there's the first through Jesus, then those that are called a part of the church of God, and then everyone else. And they don't see that because of deception. How excited are you to know this truth of God? That is the point that I'm getting at here. We need to be excited, and it needs to be excited to us that this is part of what we are. And now we go to the Aaronic blessing. Speaking to Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. God bless you as part of the children of Israel, spiritual Israel today. And as we have opportunity, let's tell others who this great and wonderful God and his son, Jesus Christ, who they really are.